There's a saying you may have heard out and about in the wonderful world we live in. It goes as follows. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. If that's your thing, that's all good and well, but be warned, your lemonade's namesake, MLB ballparks, are no more. In other news, Rice University's very own Gus the Bus may be faster than a bus, but is he faster than Santa Claus? We'll be traveling the world next month, stuffing stockings full of not 12, not 14, but all 16 teams now in the Big 12 Conference. Coming up on Against the Grain, we'll help you figure out what to make of finding a Jayhawk, Sun Devil, Cyclone, or Houston Cougar above your fireplace come December 25th, but not until we roll the music and then we will talk some ball.
This is Hey True on 96.1 KTRU LP Houston and streaming live on your phone and on the web at ktru.org. Back to you, Ian.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Ian Kluppinger, and welcome back to Against the Grain on KTRU 96.1 FM, the Rice University student-run radio show where we break down everything going on in the world of Rice athletics and the broader sports scene from across the city of Houston. You can listen to us every Thursday at 10 o'clock a.m. right here on KTRU 96.1 FM, or stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for KTRU Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To stay in the loop, go ahead and follow us at KTRU.Sports on Instagram and at KTRU Sports on TikTok. We've always got exciting stuff in the works, and we don't want you to miss out. So if you have a question for our staff, feel free to DM us on either of those platforms or drop a note to ktrusports@gmail.com. That's ktrusports@gmail.com, all lowercase. We want to know what you want to know so we can discuss it on the air. Throughout the next hour, you will be hearing from a team of student hosts. I'll be getting us started with our first segment, Around the Hedges, here at Rice University. It is common to say that the greater city of Houston is beyond the hedges. So to start off each episode of Against the Grain, we go around the hedges for a quick review of the biggest sports moments of the past week from both Rice and the city of Houston. We're going to start us off with Rice women's basketball. They beat crosstown rival Houston Cougars by a score of 60-48 last Thursday, and then beat the Sam Houston State Bearcats 65-60. On Sunday in the UH game, Dominique Ennis and Haley Adams both had standout performances. They had 14 points and 7 rebounds and 10 points and 9 rebounds, respectively, against Sam Houston. Ennis also led the way with 15 points and 5 rebounds, while Emily Klasek had 12 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. The Owls have improved to 4-1 on the season. Their next game is tonight at 8 p.m. against Gonzaga in the Kendall in Spokane. Great in road environment that the Owls will be headed into there against a high-profile opponent. The men's basketball team had a bit of a scare against the Northwestern State Demons on Saturday afternoon. They won by 2 in overtime. Kellen Amos led the way with 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists in that lengthy matchup. They followed up on Tuesday, recovering well, beating Louisiana by a score of 83-61. Caden Powell had 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks, and Denver Anglin had 20 points off the bench. For the Owls, the Owl men have also improved 4-1 on the year, and their next game is on the road against Houston Christians. So they will be traveling over to take on the Huskies on Friday at 7 p.m. If you're in Houston, you don't want to miss out on that one. Last week, we talked a lot about cross country and hyped up their NCAA regional meet, which happened since our last episode. Arkansas took the regional championship in both men's and women's. Shout out the Razorbacks. The Rice women finished 8th overall out of 33 teams. Daphne Meyer, a freshman, led the way, finishing 24th with a time of 20 minutes 16.4 seconds, which is just a minute 21 behind the first place finisher. She earned all region honors as a freshman, with joining just a selected group of Rice Owls to accomplish that feat at cross country regionals. Alex Gobran, a sophomore, also finished 35th, only 20 seconds behind Meyer to lead the way for the Owl women. On the men's side, they finished 11th overall. The course ran pretty slow in general for the men. Gus the Bus, as we previously alluded to, Gus Gannon, he led the way, finishing 21st with a time of 30 minutes and 7 seconds, which is less than a minute behind the first place finisher in that group. A few other Owls had notable performances, including Jackson Moran, a junior, and Ben Tijerina, a sophomore, who we highlighted his outstanding performance in the AAC tournament. A friend of the show, Will McDermott, suffered an ankle injury after running a quick 4.2K to start off the race. He was unable to finish, but he is recovering well, and we wanted to shout out his effort and wish him the best as he recovers. The Astros have renamed our beloved Minute Maid Park to Dakin Park. That deal is running through 2039. for those of you who may not know, which I'm assuming is most of you, Daikin is a Japanese manufacturing company and is the largest air conditioner manufacturer in the world. A little bit of a fun fact for you today. Minute Maid Park was not always called Minute Maid Park. It opened in 2000 as Enron Field, part of a 30-year, $100 million agreement, which only lasted 2 years as Enron filed bankruptcy in March of 2002. It was then renamed to Minute Maid Park after a brief stint with the creative title of Astros Field. Tropicana Field has also suffered hurricane damage, so naming your baseball stadium after a orange juice brand does not seem to be the way to go nowadays. Moving on to women's volleyball, who has had a little less to do with orange juice than the baseball world as of late. They were able to beat Memphis 3-0 and then lost 2-3 on their final regular season game on the road at North Texas. They will match up again against the Mean Green in the American Athletic Conference Tournament at 1:30 p.m. on Friday. That game is on ESPN+. The Owls have big hopes in the American Athletic Conference Tournament and hopes for the NCAA Tournament after that. And we have a team who's going to break down that whole situation for you. Take it away.
Thank you, Ian, once again for a wonderful Around the Hedges, one of my favorite segments every week. As we move to our Rice sports segment of the week, today we are covering the Rice volleyball team, who has found themselves recently having lots of success, and they're going into this week about to play a very important game against North Texas. I am joined in this segment by Garrett and David, who will be discussing some of the wonderful players on the volleyball team and their success. And right, let's take it away. So we have one of the most successful Rice teams here to talk about. I mean, they really are the shining star in the Rice athletics program. They've been very successful as of late with Coach Volpe. And Garrett, why don't you take us away talking about some of the coach's success in the recent years?
Yeah, appreciate the intro, Julian. Great work there. when you think about the Rice athletics program, there is a lot of doom and gloom. There has been a lot of plight over the years. The football team has never really been great. We haven't won the conference championship in 10 years. The men's basketball team has struggled a lot recently. And then you kind of look over at volleyball and see, like, this is the good child of Rice athletics. This is who is carrying us, who you can look to for consistent success. I just want to give you guys a quick overview of Coach Volpe and her career here at Rice. She's been with the program for over 2 decades now. She is already in the Rice Athletics Hall of Fame, even though she is still an active coach, which is just unbelievable. Under her, we've had 8 NCAA tournaments. Before last year, we had made 5 straight. And not just appearances in these tournaments, we are making it to the second round almost every year. We almost made it to the Sweet 16 in 2021 against Baylor.
It sounds like we're perennial contenders then.
I mean, you could say that.
I feel like we can say that. This is a stellar resume already.
Yeah, no, this is a great team. 5 conference championships, 2 under Volpe. I mean, this is a really good program. And this year, it's been a lot of the same. I mean, David, what have you seen from the Owls so far?
They really don't have many weaknesses. There's a lot of great players, great pieces to look at. Somebody that I want to highlight is Savannah Scopel. She is our freshman setter who has gotten Freshman of the Week honors and Setter of the Week honors for the conference, and she's tallied up 873 assists across this season as a freshman. She got put right into that spotlight, and she's shined in it.
She's won Freshman of the Week 3 times now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. I was doing some research for the segment earlier, and I saw here that we've basically had someone nominated or honorably mentioned for an AAC honor, like, basically every week. I mean, it's like you've got names in every single week except for a couple of them. It's full of stars, and yeah, Savannah Scopel really did stand out to me as like the shining star on that team. And I mean, so many people shining so bright. Like,
yeah, another name that you'll see in those honors a lot is Nia McArdle, who's our libero. She's in her 5th year now, and she has just been amazing on the defensive end. She is a big reason why we are second in the AAC for digs per set. She's just able to get in line, and just be able to defend well for the Rice Athletics team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have the veterans, the new people on this team, you know, making sure that they, you know, that they're doing their job. And We finished the regular season 18-7, 13-3 in the conference. In the conference as a second seed in the conference tournament. I mean, that's very impressive. Garrett was listing off some of the successes at the start of the segment. But every team does have weaknesses, challenges. What are some challenges that we could face heading into the important time of the year?
Yeah, I would say UNT is one of those. That's kind of been the kryptonite for this Rice volleyball team as of late. We just dropped a 5-setter to them this past week, as Ian mentioned it, around the hedges. Yeah. They are a really strong team and someone you really don't want to see in the first round of the conference tournament, especially given how well we performed and us securing the 2 seed in the tournament. That's a really tough opponent to face in the first round. In our last 4 matchups, we're 1-3 with them. So this is a team we've struggled a little bit against. This year, we were 1-1, split the series, but we swept them at home. So I think there is a lot of optimism for this Rice volleyball team. As we'll hear from Lola Ford in a minute, I think this team is really dialed in on this matchup and looking to get revenge after a tough loss.
Yeah, let's go, man. So there's a potential to make the NCAA tournament, right, if we win the AAC. So how does that work exactly? Could you explain that to us, David?
Yeah, so right now we are seeded 2nd in the AAC tournament. And if we win out the tournament, then we'll automatically get into the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
But we are also ranked 40th. So even if we lose in the AAC tournament, we might be able to just get an at-large bid if other teams win their conferences, etc. We would be able to sneak into the NCAA tournament.
Okay. The easiest way is to win the conference, because then it's like you control your destiny, right?
Exactly. We got to win. If we win, we're in. So that's what we want to do. Win 3 straight in the conference tournament over this next week. If we don't, we have to hope that in the larger conferences, the teams that are expected to win their conference do. And that way we avoid other, you know, teams that wouldn't be getting into the tournament, other teams that aren't on the bubble sneaking in, and then someone who's expected to win has to come in as an at-large bid and steal that from us.
Got it.
So lots to look forward to for this Rice team. We play Friday at 1:30. You can find that on ESPN+. If you haven't watched a lot of volleyball before, I would highly recommend it. These games are great to see on TV. This Rice Owls team is awesome, and hopefully you guys can look forward to seeing Lola Ford, who we are about to sit down with.
We are incredibly lucky today because we have Rice volleyball senior Lola Ford on. Lola plays a crucial role on the team as an outside hitter, delivering powerful kills and key blocks. Off the court, she's just as impressive, majoring in biosciences with a concentration in evolutionary biology and ecology. And her awards and accolades speak for themselves. She's been named the 2023-2024 AAC All-Academic Team, earned the 2023 Conference USA Academic Medal, and made the 2023 Conference USA Commissioner's Honor Roll. Lola, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys.
So, many may not know this, but we go back.
Way back.
Way back. Mm-hmm. All the way to freshman year, our first semester. We were in our FWIS, which is our freshman year writing class, which was Leaders in Leadership. How fitting.
Right?
Yeah. So, the first thing I wanted to ask you is, now that you're a senior and a senior on the team, have you been able to put those leadership skills to the test? And what kind of leadership style do you think you have?
It's so funny because my final paper in that class was on servant leadership. Remember, it was like a 10-page paper or something. I was like terrified by it.
Yeah.
And servant leadership has kind of been like the theme of how I've tried to lead in all 4 years of when I've been here. I think that having a mutual respect between you and the people that you're leading is the most important. Not only do I feel like now I have a leadership team on the leadership role on the team, but I've been SAC co-president for 2 years. So I'm the co-president of the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. So not only does servant leadership kind of filter into my team, but also into the committee that I'm in, and leading big groups that way too. So yeah, servant leadership is something that I kind of, pride myself on, making sure that my team is good, making sure that I know what they need. We're going to the conference tournament this actually today in like 2 hours we're going. Very exciting. But yeah, like we just had a talk with some of the girls on the team, kind of the leadership team, if you will, talking about like what all of us need, what our teammates need, how we can help them and support them in like high pressure moments. So yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm, productive quiz, as they all are at Rice University.
Oh, absolutely. It was awesome.
Talking about leadership, can you tell us a little bit about Coach Volk and her leadership style? Since she's been at Rice, we've been a powerhouse. I was looking at the stats earlier today. Since 2018, we've been to the NCAA tournament 5 out of 6 seasons. We've won 4 conference tournaments in the last 6 years. How do you describe the culture she's built and her approach to leadership?
Yeah, no. She is a really unbelievable person and coach. When she first came to Rice, maybe I think 20 years ago, 21 years ago now, Rice was not a great volleyball school at all. And she's kind of built it from the ground up. So it's been like, she's had been like one of the most successful coaches at Rice in Rice history. And she is a Hall of Fame coach and she hasn't even retired yet. So she's been unbelievable. And the way that she's recruited the people that she has a really clear equation of things that need to be within a person in order for them to come to Rice, not only on the team with like my teammates, but also with the support staff. And I feel really lucky because she's kind of filtered these recruits down into like these really special people that are all very, very invested in the success of our team. And then also just solid human beings. And so it's great to have like a culture in which like you're surrounded by people that are striving for excellence because it makes you want to strive the same way. She's been great. She's super gritty and competitive and is probably the most competitive one on the team by far. I can only say good things.
That's awesome. Yeah. Can you talk about actually a little, what was her recruiting pitch like when you were first getting recruited to come to Rice all those years ago?
Yeah, no. I committed to Rice my sophomore year of high school. Yeah. So before NCAA set regulations, I was people were getting letters in 8th grade. Wow. And so it was like a frenzy from the beginning. Now it's junior year, so people are able to, you know, experience high school and be normal. I didn't know what Rice was. I had no idea. I'm from Los Angeles, and I never would think that I would ever come to Houston in a million years. I was the only one in my entire class to come to Texas for school. I had no idea. And she called me and kind of pitched me like Rice is a top 25 university in an academic setting, but also a top 25 university in athletics, in volleyball as well. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. And you're playing at a super competitive Division I school, as opposed to like being in an Ivy League where you have that, you have the high academics and the high competitive volleyball. So it was kind of a perfect mix of both worlds. Mm-hmm.
We're very happy that she made a successful pitch.
Yeah.
and that we got you on the Owls. I was wondering too if you could speak a little bit more about how you've developed in your 4 years, you know, from freshman year to now.
Whoa. Yeah. It's so funny. We had our senior year. I mean, not my our senior year, our senior night, a week ago. And it was where it's a time of celebrating the seniors. And I've gone through 3, right? And so I've celebrated everyone else. And so it was really special to feel as if your class is being celebrated and you're being celebrated and kind of step up in that moment. But when I came to Rice at the beginning, I came from a place where I was a big fish in a small pond. And I came to Rice and felt the imposter syndrome that a week people are so wary about, right? Not only in an academic way, but also in an athletic way. I was big fish, small pond to a very small fish in a big pond. And not in a, like, my teammates were never not supportive or not, like, cheering me on. But it was just a journey of growth for myself and something that I've continued to grow in. I was terrified at first, and it's taken me 4 years to kind of figure it out. I was shocked at even like the Texas, like the way people drive is different. The way people, what, like Tex-Mex, what's that? Like, so there was like little things like that, but also just like being away from home, being super overwhelmed with everything. I know everyone's had to deal with that. But putting like athletics on top of it, it was a lot to deal with. So, but now I'm here and full circle, feel a lot better, a lot less overwhelmed. It's still really hard. Like, it hasn't changed. Like, being a student athlete is equally as hard as it is when you're young, but you're able to manage it in a much like healthier way. Mm-hmm. And like really find the joy in it, but it just takes a second, I think.
I can only imagine. Yeah. It's a tough transition for everyone, but I think particularly when you excel at a sport, to be tossed in a completely new environment with, you know, new teammates, a new culture, different tasks thrown at you, that is really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really cool that you've kind of found your place too. Yeah, totally. I'm sure you feel a lot more confident in your role now.
Mm-hmm.
So pivoting a little bit to some on the court activities, you have a very impressive career hitting percentage of 268, which for people that don't know, your hitting percentage is basically for every time you touch the ball, what percent results in a point for your team. So pretty impressive that over, you know, basically more than a quarter of the time you touch the ball, exactly, you're scoring a point for Rice. So I was kind of wondering, when you're up at the net, like, what are you thinking about? Like, how much is it about like angles? How much are you looking at where the defense is at and just trying to put the ball where it's not? Like, what's going through your head? Like, walk us through what that's like a little bit.
Yeah. What we always talk about and preach at Rice Volleyball is when in practice, that's when you're thinking. And that's when you're looking across the net and trying to solve puzzles and challenge yourself and put yourself in uncomfortable situations. But when you get to the game and you're in a game setting, you try and become completely clear and think about nothing and be able to just be present in the moment and be where your feet are. And that's not something that I was able to accomplish very early, you know, in my career. I haven't been a consistent starter until this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I was thrown onto the court when I was young and overwhelmed and dealing with all sorts of stuff, it was hard for me to be clear and be able to like really be focused on the game at hand. But this year I feel as if like I've finally been able to not only be present in the moment, but also take it a step further where I'm able to be there for my teammates and give them support and pour into them. At first, it was kind of survival of like just trying to survive. And now I feel like I'm calm enough to be clear in my mind and like really be present. So.
That's really cool. Yeah. Could you talk a little more actually about the team aspect of volleyball? I'm like the ultimate novice when it comes to volleyball.
Yeah.
Actually, I called my girlfriend for about 30 minutes before the show because she played in high school. But any like site I was reading online, it kept describing volleyball as like the ultimate team sport.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so reliant on your teammates, not just for like play on the court, but also the emotional aspect. What is that like for you? And how do you think that's different than other sports?
Yeah, volleyball is really special. It's a smaller team, right? So we have 16 girls on the team, but also you're in a very small space with a lot of people. So you're in 60 by 30, sure. Court, and there's six people on the court at a time. So you're in a very close proximity with a lot of people. So there has to be communication constant communication throughout the entire game. So that like creates these really special bonds, because not only do you have to like know people on the court, but you have to know how they tick in order to communicate with them properly and draw the best out of them. So yeah, I would agree. It's the ultimate team sport. I've met like my best friends on the team And like, I can't say anything more than like they're the like most special people, and it's because of this like team environment where a team is like pushed on us that we're able to be so close. So yeah.
And I would add too that unlike most sports, because of the way volleyball rotations work, like you are interacting with not only like a core group of people, but a core group that's changing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the number of people that you play with is a lot more.
Oh yeah, totally. You're totally right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I imagine fully helps build chemistry overall.
Well, build chemistry not only with the starters and the people on the court when you're playing a game, but also in practice. It's not like you're staying on one side. You're constantly flowing through all places. Mm. And that's what's also so cool is you not only like gain respect for the people that are like starting every night, but you gain respect for everyone on the court because you're competing so hard in practice. Honestly, I think practice is way harder than games because the girls are like, we are trying to tear each other apart. Yeah. Like across the net, we really are.
Yeah,
so that also like you're able to like get to know not only the people that you're playing with, but also like the entire team as a collective.
That's really interesting, especially like the competitive nature of volleyball. Like thinking about for you as a hitter, like being on the front lines, like blocking hits and kills from the other team, I would be terrified personally.
Honestly, they hit the balls hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you're putting yourself in the line of fire.
Yeah.
But what is then like the mindset like on the other side for you? Like when you're going up to block, you know, a kill from a girl who you know is gonna hammer it at 60 plus miles an hour. Like, what is your mindset?
I'm going to get her. and not only am I saying that to myself, but we're standing there in a line together, right? Before we have to, like, the switch and go to our position. And so it's not only, like, I'm going to get her, but it's I'm talking to LaDemi, one of our middles, like, who's right behind in front of me. And I'm like, you're going to get her. Go get her, Demi. Like, you're about to get this. Not only for us, but like for yourself, it's really cool and really empowering. There's not a better feeling in the world than like really getting a stuff block and oh my God, it literally sends like shocks like all the way down your body. It's the best feeling.
That is cool. How much like on the technical side too, how much scouting goes into that on like picking up on the tendencies of their hitters and seeing like she doesn't cross as much, so we're gonna line up, you know, shift a little bit. Does that happen or am I like completely off?
You're really showing off your volleyball knowledge here. That happens a lot. Today we had film for like 30 minutes, and usually when we're coming up to a game on Friday, we'll have film on both Wednesday and Thursday, and it's usually like 30 to 45 minutes. And then on top of that, all of our film from our practices is uploaded to a thing called Volumetrics, and you're able to get tagged, and a lot of girls will watch practices right after they play. So yeah, film is a constant thing, and it allows you to kind of take a step outside of yourself and like view yourself and like really see like what's going on. Cause I feel like a lot of times, not only with volleyball, but with life, when you're a little bit too close or you're like in your own person, you're not able to like fully experience the things like the big picture. And so it's good. It's good. It's a good way of learning. Mm-hmm.
That definitely gives you a lot of clarity. When I listen to this show back, we learn a lot of stuff.
Right,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
Film is always a great way to improve.
Mm-hmm.
So you're about to leave,
mm-hmm.
Heading to the AAC tournament. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Let's do it.
I feel like the team is in a really exciting place right now. Obviously, you guys finished the year second in conference. And I think on RPI, you guys are like 40th ranked mm-hmm. overall nationally, which is really impressive. So I guess first we'll start off a little bit more generally and then we'll kind of talk North Texas. But mm-hmm. what is kind of the mindset of the team right now as you all head into postseason play?
I think people are ready to get after it. I just said that I was with my leadership team and we kind of like came up with the phrase rankings earn no points.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you go into postseason, like all bets are off and it's 0-0. You're starting from the very beginning. And yes, you've had all these like bruises and wounds, But you've learned from them and grown, and you've become the toughest that you've ever been. And I think the girls are just excited. Like, we're just pumped to represent Rice, pumped to like show off like all our hard work. Yeah, that's what I have. I think we're super pumped.
Y'all seem locked in.
We're locked in.
Is there a little bit extra that you think you're bringing to the North Texas match just because we just dropped, you know, a tough five setter to them? Sorry to bring that up.
No, no, because it honestly, I don't think, like, I think it's a storybook, like, it will be a storybook ending, and I'm going to manifest it and talk it into existence. Yeah, it was a tough loss. We went to five with them. We played really hard. But gosh, nothing to like make you have more fire than just barely losing to a team and then having to come back and play them 5 days later. Like, when does that happen? Not only are we playing UNT on Friday, but in our matchup to the finals, we have the next day is either ECU or FAU. Mm-hmm. And we lost to three teams in the AAC. We lost to UNT, then we lost to FAU, and we lost to USF. So we have a possibility of playing all three over again, which is really exciting. It's kind of like a little revenge tour.
Redemption.
It's redemption. And so we're pumped.
Yeah. I guess ahead of the rematch, like you were saying, the conference championship game is a little bit different because you're seeing these opponents for the third time. Mm-hmm. So what are you guys looking at? Obviously, we talked about film, but are there any specific things that you guys are targeting or looking to improve ahead of the matchup?
Yeah, for the UNT match, they hit they really efficiently against us. And so a lot of things that we're working on are both with our blocking, but also with our floor defense, changing some of the patterns that we're doing when certain people hit. And then we're really trying to strengthen that bond between the blocking and then the floor defense. So like making sure that we're communicating between the two of them and making sure we're all on the same page. So that's one big thing. And then of course, out of system setting and attacking, we're talking about that. That's basically when there's like chaos and the setter isn't getting the ball in like a perfect spot. So that happens a lot in volleyball. It's usually not something, you know, it's very rare to have like something perfect, like a perfect situation in life, but also in volleyball, right? So just learning how to manage the game a little bit more. So yeah, that's what we've been working on these practices. Actually, this morning, that's what I was doing this morning.
Very cool. It's always cool to get the inside scoop into what you guys are up to over there. Ahead of the tournament, Rice has some awesome players, including yourself. Who would you shout out? Who's somebody that we should watch out for this tournament or somebody that you just want to call out on the team for people that are listening that might be new to Rice volleyball, that might be excited about the tournament? Who should we be paying attention to?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have Lademi Ogunlana, who's a middle. She just got called to the AAC first conference team.
Mm-hmm.
Samara Hale also called to the AAC first conference team. So they had a very successful season. And then we have our freshman setter who's come in and has dealt with all the overwhelming things of being a freshman, but has also managed to be called to the second AAC team. So yeah, really cool. She's also on the all freshman team, and a really strong leader for us, even in a underclassman role. So she's someone she runs the offense so well, and has really like taken upon herself this big role and big shoes to fill for a freshman. So those three have just been wicked so far.
Yeah, that is awesome. We'll be really excited to watch y'all play the Mean Green. I would not want to be a North Texas fan come conference tournament time based on everything we've heard. Shifting a little bit to some non-volleyball stuff, we have some rapid-fire questions from you just to get to know you a little better as a person outside of volleyball. So I'll get it started off. What is your go-to snack?
Oh, my gosh. Apples. Is that weird? Apples and peanut butter.
So oh, that's good. A good
so combo. Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite sports team?
Dodgers. Dodgers. I mean, I'm from LA, right? Yeah. So Dodgers, Lakers, Rams. I'm kind of a fake sports fan, honestly, but I have to like make that clear. But like, I used to go to the Dodgers games when I was little, so I'll say that.
Good time to be a Dodgers fan.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it is. It is indeed.
So you're from Pasadena. Is it LA on top for you, or do you prefer San Francisco or San Diego? What's the hierarchy?
Oh, it's clearly Los Angeles is okay. The clear winner.
Wow.
Oh gosh, it's just the sunshine, the people. The food.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like San Diego that was sneaking up on people.
Yeah,
I feel like
yeah.
people are feeling it. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite athlete growing up?
Ooh. Serena Williams? Oh. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
GOAT, I guess. I mean, I don't know who else. I mean, the typical like Kobe, but Serena Williams, why not? She's awesome.
24 grand slams for her. Thing. Okay, what is the favorite place you played, excluding Tudor Fieldhouse, of course?
Oh my gosh. NCAA. First year. We were at Gregory, which is UT Austin's place. It is there. They were ranked first in the country at that point, and it is just like insane. The energy in there is just. The fans are crazy, and it's so packed that it's like it's so loud. And I was insane. I've never experienced something like that before.
Can't even hear your own thoughts.
No, you literally can't hear your own thoughts.
Do you have a favorite TV show or movie, current or past, that you've been watching?
Oh my god. I don't know. Shawshank Redemption. It's a weird favorite movie, but. I love it. I love The Office, too. I'm a big Office fan. How I Met Your Mother.
Classics.
Yeah, classics. The classics, you know.
Okay, favorite hobby.
Ooh, favorite hobby. I don't get to have many of those, at least right now. But I play the guitar. I love doing that. I love cooking. I love hiking. I know there's not that much hiking in Houston, but I love nature. I love going to the beach. I love reading and knitting. I'm currently knitting something right now. That's new.
What are you knitting? Yeah.
And it's kind of just a cloth right now. It's like might be a blanket, but who knows what it'll end up being.
Endless possibilities.
Exactly.
Favorite musical artist?
Ooh, I love Leon Bridges. Yeah, he holds a special place in my family's heart. So we love Leon.
Let's go to our Rice specific one here, and maybe our final question: what is your least favorite residential college?
Oh my god! Well, Rice, duh.
You're finding a lot of solidarity amongst this group here.
I'm loving these answers.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on. Before we let you go, is there anything you want to plug? Any social medias we should be following of yours? Anything you want to say to the people?
Ooh, my Instagram is Lola_Ford, and you can follow me there. But I just want to say, like, thank y'all, because it is so important to be, like, try and bridge the gap between students and student athletes. It's something that we do a lot at SAC. I know that student athletes like really admire students, and it's the same way like vice versa. So I just want to be say thank you to you guys for like trying to like go out and venture and do this awesome podcast / radio show. We love it. So thank you.
Thank you. And we wouldn't be able to do it without you guys. And, like, I will say, too, like, as soon as I reached out to you, you were so quick in responding. And, like, anyone, anything you need, let me know. So it really goes a long way. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into our game for today, we have a quick promotion for our other Rice shows here on K-True. K-True's Rice Radio Reggae takes listeners on a tour of some of the many facets of reggae music, from the roots reggae made famous by Bob Marley to instrumental dub, dance hop, and more. A word to describe K-True is eclectic, and Rice Radio Reggae follows suit, with songs in each set moving from one style to another, and often one country to another. Every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m., K-True's Rice Radio Reggae.
Welcome back, all you iPad kids. It's time for some more Sports Brain Rots. Today, we are going to be playing Guess My Player, a sports variant of games you may be familiar with, like Guess Who and 20 Questions. Our two players will take turns asking each other yes or no questions and attempt to narrow down their options, as the first one to correctly identify their opponent's NBA player will be our winner. Andrew Fox and Garrett Lowe will be our two contestants today. So without further ado, I will let them get right into it. And Andrew can go ahead and ask the first question.
Okay, I'm going to start with the simple first question. Does your player play in the East?
No. I'll throw it right back to you. Do I play in the East?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Does your player play for a team with like a cool mascot?
Wow.
Like, just think about the mascots.
What a subjective question.
No, because some of them are good. Like, the Thunder are cool, like Timberwolves, but like not like Trailblazers.
This is leading the witness.
I actually have to look this up. Max, do you think this guy's cool?
No.
Not okay. A cool mascot.
Okay. Thank you.
Insane question to ask. What was I in the playoffs last year, your player?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And that playoffs, not play-in.
Yes, playoffs.
All right. I'm not a bum.
Is your player an up-and-coming talent?
No.
Okay.
Take that as you will. Okay. Has your player ever been an all-star?
No.
Oh, my. Maybe it is a bum.
Has your player ever been all-NBA?
No. Okay. Was your player a top-4 seed last year?
Yes.
Top four in the West last year were Nuggets, Thunder, Timberwolves, and Clippers.
Yes.
Oh,
okay, boy. So your players in the West, they're not young and upcoming, but they're also not, like, super good. So kind of like a bummy veteran is kind of what I'm thinking. They also play for a team with a bad mascot, which makes you think, like, Spurs, like, Mavericks, Pelicans. Does your player play in the Southwest Division?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Interesting. Okay, so your guy... in the West, not an all-star, and was on the Clippers, Wolves, Nuggets, or Thunder last year. Am I a starter, your player?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good news.
Did your player make the playoffs last year?
No.
So in the Southwest, so not Mavs, not
no.
Pelicans. Okay.
No. You're cooked, dude. is your player a guard? Uh-oh.
I wouldn't... His primary position, I would say no, but he's versatile.
He's versatile?
He's versatile.
All right, we got to have some oversight on this.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a fair answer.
Okay.
My player's versatile. He can... He could theoretically play any position on the court.
I think...
Anyone could theoretically play
I think the word you're looking for is no.
Okay, no. He's not a guard.
All right, thanks, Fox.
Okay. Has your team been really, really bad the past couple of years?
I'll say yes. I'd say yeah. Not
okay.
Like horrible, but
okay.
It depends on how you look at last year.
Okay.
I won't give away any more information than that. That's
okay.
Too much. That's too much.
Wait, Andrew, was your question have they been really bad?
Yeah.
Okay. And your answer was
he said not terrible.
Okay. Okay, we gotta hone in the question.
No more subjective questions.
Okay,
it's supposed
to be
a yes or no.
Fault.
Okay. What is I on the Nuggets?
No.
Okay.
Does your player play with my favorite player, Jalen Green?
Yes.
Perfect.
Oh god. I'm not a guard, and I'm a starter on either the Wolves, Thunder, or Clippers. I am so cooked. Not an all-star either. Oh, my. Am I a forward, at least?
Yeah,
okay.
Forward. Did your player play for, like, a big college?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Literally could be said for any player. What a dumb question. Okay, so I'm a forward, the Wolves, Thunder, or Clippers. I'm a starter, but not an all-star. It can't be the Clippers because their forwards were Kawhi and PG. It's got to be the Thunder or the Wolves. My gut tells me Jaden McDaniels might go. Let me go with him.
It's not Jaden McDaniels.
I want to curse right now.
Okay, so your player's on the Rockets. But he's just like some mid-veteran. Oh my goodness. Is your player Dylan Brooks?
Yes.
Come on. Get a redemption. No, take a redemption shot.
Yeah, redemption Garrett shot? Gets one redemption shot. Get a redemption shot. Got the first question.
So how Dylan, am I hot? Am I cold? What are we looking at?
Flag
on the play.
Like you know it's down to two teams, and you know
I know it's down to two teams, right?
So
I know it's a starter.
Recap real quick.
It's like you're warm.
Garrett knows that Andrew's player is, not on the Nuggets, and he's narrowed it down to, I believe, two teams.
It's the Wolves or the Thunder. Yeah. It's a forward, and it's a starter, and it's not Jaden McDaniels.
And it's not an all-star.
I don't think it's Big Purr. Cat was the four for the Wolves last year, so that makes me think. That makes me think we're looking at J-Dub. Give me Jalen Williams.
Oh my god.
Come on. So is that a tie?
I believe that is a tie. We just might have to run it.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. We'll see. Hey, we'll see y'all next week for the
rematch. We might have to run it back next week. Great performance from both players. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Sports Brain Rot.
Give amenity gift adoption from Save the Mandy Club. 34 real Mandys are up for adoption in their Adopt Amenity program. Funds help with education and conservation efforts. Each person who adopts receives a full color photo, biography, adoption certificate, and more. Call toll free at 1-800-432-JOIN-5646 or visit SaveTheManity.org.
Welcome back to Against the Grain right here on K-True 96.1 FM. I'm Ian Kleppinger. I'm here with Andrew, Brandon, and Max. And we are going to talk about our crosstown school, a little bit of a rival. We're going to talk about the Houston Cougars, nationally acclaimed men's basketball program. They have had a lot of recent success. Their coach, Kelvin Sampson, has a great resume from his time at Houston.
Weird feedback going. It's okay, back to being weird.
We'd only gone for like 20 seconds, so we're gonna kill it right now. What's going on?
What happened? It's just like started.
I don't feel like we lost a ton with that.
It's still going.
I always do.
All right.
No, it's better. Okay. It's better. Yeah. All right. Okay. We're back. We're so back.
Okay. Eureka.
All right. 3, 2, should I clap?
No.
Wait for the screen.
Achoo! It's going to go away.
Look at the
light. Does that work? Yeah. We might just have to run it.
Don't do that again.
All right.
It's like looking at the light suppresses it or it encourages it. Oh, good.
Okay. 3. Welcome back to Against the Grain right here on K-True 96.1 FM. We are going to talk some men's basketball. We're taking a deep dive into the crosstown rival program of our Rice Owls, the Houston Cougars, led by head coach Kelvin Sampson. They've had a lot of recent success. We have a lot of things we can talk about, both looking forward to this year, looking at the newly expanded Big 12 Conference, and looking into how they have done in the past. So, Brandon, I believe you have a few thoughts to get us started on the Cougars.
Absolutely. So, I just want to preface with the fact that I just don't think they're as good as everyone else thinks they are. Obviously, last year, they made it to the Sweet 16, where they were upset by Duke. But you look at the team year over year, right? Not much has changed. And I think that is actually an issue for them. They play a really slow brand of basketball. And while they are offensively efficient, I just don't think they play a style of basketball that's going to result in them like overcoming the hump and winning an NCAA championship. And with where they've been the last few years, like that's the goal, right? Like it's not making the NCAA tournament. It's not being a number one seed. It's winning a ring. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
All right. I have my thoughts, but Max, Andrew, what do we think?
I would have to agree with some of that. I think they've they haven't really made many changes, and it continues to be this like Sweet 16, maybe Elite 8, like little adventure, but it's not really going anywhere for me. And losing Jamal Shedd is a big deal to me, and I just don't know if anyone else can step up in his role as the two-way like playmaking leader of that team.
Measly little adventure to the Elite 8, kind of bummy little basketball squad there just in the final rounds of March Madness. But, you know, I don't know that I, like, completely agree with you guys. I think that maybe their regular season performance is so consistent and it's so good. The reason they're a perennial number one seed is because their slow defensive brand of basketball gets them, like, consistent, reliable wins even when the shooting isn't there, even when, like, one or two key players maybe having an off night. And, like, night in, night out, and that's how they continue to have, like, regular season titles in contention in the Big 12 conference, especially, which is arguably the toughest basketball conference in the country. And that's why come Selection Sunday, we can almost expect them to be a one seed. I think there is merit to what you guys are saying about like maybe how they need to switch up their tournament approach a little bit, because obviously they've had, for like the caliber of team that they are, they've obviously had lackluster results, especially for being a one seed. But I think that like, I mean, they're year in, year out, they're like one of the best teams in the country on the metrics and in the standings. I honestly don't know what else you could ask for from them, at least in the regular season.
I think like kind of countering that is no one's saying they're not a good regular season team. They are. Like, no one's arguing that. Like, everyone will say that. Like, and it's true. Like, their brand of basketball works really well in the regular season. But when March comes, it just doesn't work. Like, they play too slow of a brand of basketball to be successful in the long run. Like, on the flip side, you see a team like Alabama that does the exact opposite, right? They play a really fast brand of basketball. They're continuously successful in the regular season as well. But it catches up to you in March. It happens every year. Like, we've seen it consistently where you can't really play a brand of basketball that's either too slow or too fast. You want to be more in like the sweet middle spot, because if you focus like too heavily on either brand of basketball, it just doesn't work in the long run.
So what do you think that, like, maybe everyone could kind of chime in here, what changes do we think maybe Kelvin Sampson and the squad need to make? Because I don't think, like, that's, I'm not going to necessarily disagree with Brandon on that point, but I think it's a tough mental leap for a team to be like, oh, we've had outstanding regular season performance year in, year out, and we're going to completely flip our style of play.
I actually am going to disagree. I don't think you need to change your style of play. I mean, if you look back to the previous winners of the tournament, you can go like to 2019 when Virginia won. They played like historically slow, historic defensive play, and their best player was like Kyle Guy. Like, I feel like they didn't really have any like crazy superstars on their team, to be honest, but they just played really slow. I feel like Houston can do it. I don't think you need like one dude carrying all the offensive load, especially in the tournament. We've seen like recently with UConn and Kansas and Baylor winning, you don't need like the number one overall pick carrying you every year. I think you can go far. I think they've been a bit unlucky and maybe haven't played their best in March so far, but in terms of consistently making it far into the tournament, there aren't a lot of teams that do it better than Houston. And I think really they just need like to catch a kind of lucky run to get through.
I think their reliance on defense, like obviously that's a little more reliable than like flashy 3-point shooting, but I think they've also just run into like really crazy offensive teams, and they've just been like kind of outscored. Like, they've run into Duke, they've run into Miami, they've run into Texas A&M, who didn't actually beat them, but like those have all become like, those are not the matchups that you like, if Houston gets to pick like who they want in their first couple of games or the Sweet 16, like those are not the teams they're going to pick. So I wonder if like a little different, like luck of the draw, and it's like in the past couple of years we've had a Houston Final Four team.
I mean, I don't think they need to completely overhaul their style in these matchups, but I would want to see one or two other guys step up as the leader in those matchups and like produce more offense. Like, I think against Duke last year they scored what, like 50 points in the whole game. Like, someone has to be able to step up in the Sweet 16, in the Elite 8, to get them to the finals. Like Andrew said with Virginia, Kyle Guy hit some huge shots and they scored a decent amount of points still, even with that slow offense. So I want to see more from Houston in the tournament in terms of individuals stepping up their game.
I think that's a great way to transition a little bit into talking about the roster for this year. We've alluded to it a little bit. There have been a few interesting changes. Kind of a question to the table. How do we think that Houston is going to step up and fill that already slightly questionable offensive void, if you look at it very cynically, I suppose?
I mean, I think we know what LJ Cryer is. He's been there for a while. Like, he'll give you some scoring. Maybe not the most efficient guy, but he's a leader on the team, obviously. He's probably going to be the guy they go to in clutch situations. But aside from that, Milos Uzon, another guard, can kind of facilitate the play. I think that'll really help them, especially in the tournament, to have someone that can like, slow it down a little bit and create his own shot and get others involved. And then Jawan Roberts, offensively and defensively, just getting big, scoring some points, getting some rebounds. I think that should be big for them. Gives them a little bit more depth throughout their whole starting five that they haven't really had previously. And I think that could really help them down the stretch.
See, I would actually argue that the fact that their roster really hasn't changed that much is a big downside like of the Houston team this year, because they really didn't increase like their scoring or get like a star, like true number one option. And that was honestly their downfall last year, right? Like, they didn't have a guy that when they faced a team like Duke could actually turn it up and score buckets when it mattered and play like an aggressive shooting first style of basketball. And I think, especially for March Madness, you need to have clutch shots from at least one guy. And when you're basically recycling the same roster as last year, when you arguably had a better player at point guard, who wasn't that type of player, like, I just think you're putting yourself in an even worse position to, at the best, replicate what you did last year.
Do you think there's any value to, like, having the same guys come back, have guys with tournament experience come back, have guys who have played together come back, especially in the era of teams completely implode and then they go to the portal in the NIL world and like pull together a bunch of random players, and that approach has not proven to be especially successful? So do you think that maybe Houston does have an advantage, even though they don't have a standout prospect, kind of because of that? Or like, how do you weigh that into your evaluation there?
No, I do agree that that is a big advantage, but I also think it doesn't fix the areas that they have struggled in and that they need to improve on, right? Like, obviously, having your most of your roster come back and be the same players is definitely a huge benefit, because the chemistry is already there. You already have like the experience of being in the NCAA tournament. But at the end of the day, I just personally don't see any of their like main starters taking on like that role of like player that could play hero ball when like March comes around.
All right, that's an interesting take from Brandon. But to kind of round out our segments, I want all three of you to kind of weigh in on where do we stack Houston up nationally and or in the context of the Big 12. So quick round trip for the listeners at home. There are five teams ranked in the top 25 going into the preseason of the Big 12. You have Kansas at 1, Iowa State at 5, Houston at 7, Baylor at 13, Arizona at 17, and some polls also have Texas Tech in there, kind of right around that 24-25 slot. Other teams include TCU, Cincinnati, Colorado, UCF, and all those teams, I would say, have tournament hopes. BYU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Arizona State, Utah, West Virginia, and Kansas State round out the conference. I would not be surprised if a couple teams in that last group also make a push. How do we see Houston shaking out in the very competitive and elite basketball scene that is the newly minted Big 12 conference?
I think Kansas is, for me, certainly the best team in the conference. I think Houston's probably 2. I feel like Iowa State has a little bit of ranking inflation because they won the tournament last year, and they will probably go down a little bit. I think in terms of like the best teams in college basketball, you're looking at like Kansas and UConn, and then the tier below that is where you're going to find like Houston and Gonzaga. So I feel like Houston going into this year should really be expecting themselves to, if not win, definitely make the final of the Big 12 tournament. And then in terms of March Madness, I think you're looking at a minimum Elite Eight to be considered even a somewhat successful year.
I absolutely agree. I think Kansas stands out to me at the top of the Big 12, and then I see four teams that include Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, and Arizona as like that next tier of teams who could challenge and win the Big 12, but Kansas definitely stands out to me.
Yeah, I think these are all pretty reasonable sentiments. Kansas is definitely like clear cut number one. I think that's quite obvious. I will say, I do think Texas Tech is actually going to be a very competitive team in the Big 12 this year. I don't know if they're going to jump to that second tier, but I could definitely see them making noise in something like the Big 12 tournament. But I still have Houston in that 3-4 slot. I would still slot up Iowa State above them. And right now, I probably would have them above Baylor, but you could absolutely make the argument that Baylor is going to have a great year as well.
I think that Iowa State, Houston, Baylor, Arizona, even Texas Tech tier, kind of all teams that, you know, had a lot of success last year and or have a lot of hopes for like elite success coming in this year, but all have at least one kind of slightly unanswered question about how they're really going to compete at the elite level, which makes for a great viewer experience for those of you wanting to tune into some Houston Cougars or broader Big 12 basketball. That is all the time we have for our basketball breakdown. We are going to round out our show with our usual predictions in just a second.
All right. What a great episode of Talking Sports we've had here today. We're going to round it out with our predictions segment, which we have every week. If you have not been following along, at the end of each show, we make three big predictions for the week. We look at various matchups around sports, and everybody in our team makes this pick. We also recently have added an underdog pick that each of us will make. You know, we get to feel a little bold. For these three matchups for this week, we have the 49ers against the Packers, we have Rice football at UAB, and we have Duke taking on Arizona. Some very fun matchups. But before that, we will start with our dogs of the week. I will start it off myself and maybe hop on over across the pond. I didn't really find something that really captivated me, so I'm going to take this chance to trash on my good old rivals, Manchester United. They've just appointed their new manager, Ruben Amorim. I think Ipswich Town, newly promoted team, beats them in his first game in charge. David?
Well, Jerry Jones has my soul linked to this team, so I have to take the Cowboys over the Commanders.
I've got Army upsetting Notre Dame. I just think Notre Dame is a bit overrated, so give me Army. Ian?
I am taking the Pitt Panthers in football. They're plus 250 at Louisville, who's 6-4. I picked Pitt last week as my dog, and they lost by 3 against a team that I think is much better than Louisville. So with steeper odds and coming off what I think was a great game, I am transferring to Pitt. Give me the Panthers.
Ole Miss is not ready to see DJ Lagway in the swamp. Give me the Florida Gators over the Ole Miss Rebels.
Love the pick. OHIO, you are officially on fraud watch. Should have lost to the Cornhuskers a couple weeks ago. This week, karma is going to get you. Give me the Hoosiers.
Similar to Julian, I didn't see anything particular in the college football sector. So I'm actually going to go over to UFC. For the main event of UFC Fight Night, and I'm going to pick Figueiredo to beat Peter Yan. He's plus 240 in the main event.
I was going on vibes only. Give me San Jose State over UNLV. You always only go on vibes, Fox. We appreciate you.
For and that. I'm 8-1. All right. Yes, I suppose it would be a great time to remind the listeners that Andrew is leading our predictions with an 8-1 record. That was a terrible call out for me in the very first episode, to those who remember. But as we move on to the matchups of the week, we will start off with the 49ers versus the Packers. I think I will take the 49ers in this matchup. They need the game. They are desperate after a tough loss against the Seahawks. Give me the Gold Rush Niners.
Give me the Packers. Let's go, Jordan Love.
I'm with Julian. The Niners need this win desperately. Give me the Niners, Ian.
I think the Niners need this win. I also think they've played a little better than maybe their record shows throughout the season, so I will ride with the Niners.
I will never pick the Niners to win a football game. Give me the Packers.
Seahawks fan, as we remember.
I know it's not the NFC Championship, but I think the Niners still own the Packers. Give me the Niners.
And that is a salty Cowboys fan over there.
Word on the street is that Purdy's lactose intolerant. Give me the Cheeseheads and the Packers.
Ayuk's entire knee and my fantasy team were sacrificed for this game. Give me the 49ers.
Love it, love it, love it. As we move on to Rice football at UAB. I have a policy here where I'm sorry, my Rice football folks, but I always have to pick against you. Give me UAB in this one.
I'm picking the Owls this time.
My moral compass couldn't let me not pick the Owls. So, Rice, please pull through.
I picked against the Owls in a completely different sport a couple weeks ago, and it could not have backfired more. And I also do think that Rice might actually be the better team here, so I will ride all the way with the Owls.
I think Rice is actually the better team here, so give me the Owls.
I'll keep it going. Give me the Owls.
Wow, guys. I think the Owls, we still have our bowl hope alive. Get in academically. Sadly, that ends this week as UAB will beat Rice.
Yeah, I'm going UAB as well.
Okay, and then for our final matchup of the week, we have Cooper Flagg's Duke taking on Arizona. Great matchup here. And yeah, in matchups like these, you always take the team with the best player. Give me Duke.
I mean, what more is there to say? Give me Duke.
I think Duke is still figuring out what their team looks like as a whole. Arizona's got the love, so give me Zona.
I am with Chloe on this one. I think Duke is a great team, but I will take the better, arguably better rounded roster with more proven success and definitely a more proven coach.
Caleb Love has been playing college basketball for way too long. It's Cooper Flagg's time, so give me the Blue Devils.
Rice basketball may be my team, but Duke is my first love. You know I'm going with the Blue Devils to plant their flag this weekend.
Like that from G-Lo, like that.
Give me Arizona.
I like Duke's freshman trio. Give me Duke.
And with that, we close off this episode of the week for Against the Grain, K-True. And just before we go, we would like to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We will be back on December 5th. We will be taking the next week off due to Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has a happy holiday. And we will be discussing Rice and Houston sports once again with a special college football playoff and college sports segment. While you're at it, be sure to follow us on all socials at K-True Sports. And in case you didn't get to hear the whole episode, amazing news. You can stream it on any platform of your choice, such as Spotify and on Amazon Music. And if you have any questions and comments about the show, submit them to the email, ktruesports@gmail.com. If we get enough, once again, we will do a mailbag. Thank you all so much for listening this morning, and have a great weekend.